Can you imagine getting your teenager to spend 5 or 6 hours a day in Bible study, reading, going through their homework? Hello. But you know what? The research shows that that's exactly what teenagers are doing. 32% of them online every day, 5 or 6 hours a day, either social media or gaming. And with 13% of teenagers spending more than 9 hours a day. Hello, that's a long time. That's a lot of life being wasted. Come on, let's just say what it is. A lot of life being wasted for these precious teenagers growing up in a difficult time today. All right, we're continuing our discussion from earlier in the week on being a parent with teens or preteens and how to manage social media in their life, in your home, and your own values. I'm Dr. Randy here at the Intentional Living Center. Welcome back, Taylor and Shiloh Anderson. Taylor is the marketing director for our ministry, and so you kind of contribute to this whole thing of social media. We're on all these different sites, aren't we? Where are we with Intentional Living and Family Life Radio?
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, pretty much all the big ones.
Are you seeing the growth with more and more people tuning in on these things?
Yeah, we're seeing more growth in the newer channels, less so in Facebook, I think, just being legacy social media and the way that shifted. But yeah, we're seeing growth across the board.
Yeah. And then Shiloh, thank you for coming in to join us today. For those who didn't hear the show earlier in the week, you guys are the parents of a 17-year-old son, right? A 13-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old daughter.
That's right.
So you have social media in your home.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it frustrate you to have this? Do you wish you could just shut it off sometimes, or is it are you kind of excited about being able to manage this with your kids?
I mean, that's a hard question. I think I'm more excited just because, like you said earlier, it's not going away. So I think it's kind of exciting to get to help them learn how to manage it. But there are times where I wish we could just make it all go away, because it makes you recognize the lack of control we have, because it's everywhere. But we do have, you know, times where, like, Sundays are family day, period, and we get off our phones for the most part. So we have, you know, times like that where they get off, and it's nice because we have conversation. And
is it difficult when you say Sunday comes? Do they not look forward to Sunday now?
They love Sunday.
They do. I think we're lucky or blessed or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we just because we sort of, again, talked about it with ahead of time, this is the expectation. This is what we're going to do. It's family time. No friends most of the time. Sometimes we'll let them sneak a friend in. But just this is our family time. And there is times where both of us ourselves has modeled that, saying we're taking a break. You know what I mean? You did it just a couple months ago. Like, I'm just going off of it because of the way, and we make sure our kids know that. Why are you doing that, Mom? I don't know. It's bothering me. I'm spending too much time. I'm just going to disconnect for a week or two. And so trying to even model that balance behavior with them as well is helpful.
Now, Shiloh, are you on social media yourself?
I am. Yeah. I just started a small business. So most of my marketing is through social media, and most of my sales are through social media. So I'm on there for my small business, but then personally, I'm on there here and there. I'm not like super good about posting, you know, consistently.
So for you, it's more of a really functional use marketing, which I'm sure is true for a lot of people.
It is.
So in that standpoint, it's been a very positive thing.
Very positive. Yeah. Yeah. And I keep the family and the kids off of the business one. And then I have my private one that's more family and kids, like people can keep up with us.
What do you find? Taylor, you head up all of our social media and online activities here at the ministry. What do you hear as far as the positive? What is this doing for us as a ministry to get the word out that we're communicating?
It just allows a global reach. I mean, I sent a screenshot to our team on Slack the other day of a lady in Mexico. She messaged us on Facebook and said, I hear you guys all the way down here thanks to your social media channels. And so, you know, where some may be limited demographically to a station or whatever, we just have the ability to put this content out on digital, and it is positive content. It is intentional content. And so our belief is we better show up there because the rest of the world is, and it's going to be providing, ideally, resources, tools, inspiration, hope to our audiences. So we're there, and we're there in a big way.
All right. We're talking social media today, and you're welcome to share your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
Hi there. I was just saying I cannot believe that you guys are going over this today, because the topic couldn't have hit home for me more. And I'm sorry to be emotional about it, but
right.
it's, yesterday I was looking through. As a parent, it's really difficult with all the social media because you have to be on your children. You have to be checking their accounts. And even that's difficult because they're very smart and they make other accounts and alternate accounts. Yeah. And yesterday I was on and all I saw, like you were saying, was selfies. Just these, especially the girls, the young girls, just full of selfies. All their Facebook page and their Instagrams. And, you know, I don't normally use my Facebook for that kind of thing. I use it to see my friends, my family, and things like that. But I posted yesterday that I was incredibly sad at what I had saw, and their peers are rate 10, rate 9. You know, you're great. I haven't seen you. And I said, guys, what is going on? And even I'm 35 years old. Even in my generation, there's a lot of my peers that are doing the same thing. And I'm like, we have to be an example to these young girls. That's not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. A pretty face can be gone in one accident. If you don't have anything else to offer, to give, what are we doing? What are we teaching our young girls? I mean, the media is bad enough. We got to stand up as women and say, that's not it. We've got to empower and encourage each other and get out of this vanity, because it's not godly and it's not what we're supposed to do as women. And it's such a really hit home for me today that you guys are talking about this, because I want to see these girls just get out of this. When we were kids, it was like you said, the pictures were taken of family, capturing memories that we can look back at and sharing. And that's what I enjoy about Facebook. We can see our friends and family that we don't get to see on a normal basis and share, you know, accomplishments with our kids and our family. And an occasional selfie because there's no one to take a picture.
Yes.
It's one thing because you're in the Grand Canyon or you just finished a race, but the focus is very, very sad. Yeah. And it's taking away from what we're supposed to be doing as a community and as people, and helping each other and praying for each other and just sharing things of God, everything revolving around that individual person. Mm. It's really sad.
Mm. All right. Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate that from Arizona. Do you find that with your daughter in particular? I know she's just getting started, but... Do you see, I mean, we know it's happening in the culture, this absorption with ourself. And I think as I look at social media, I see the upside. Working your business, having ministry, encouraging people, keeping in touch. I mean, we can keep in touch with our daughter and son-in-law and kids in Africa because they're, you know, doing mission work. I see the upside. I think we all see that. But there seems to be an emphasis on this identity thing of who am I, and it's really self-focused. Have you find that with what's coming in with your kids?
I mean, personally, I think it has to do, which I've talked to both the, you know, our kids, the older ones who have it, finding value. You know what I mean? Like I find my self-worth or my value in this digital channel, and how that's not the place to do it or find it. And so Our son's never doing selfie videos and everything. Our daughter absolutely is, mm-hmm. but she's doing it more of like a social engagement. I don't foresee it as like a self, you know, image thing, but you can speak to it maybe more being, you know, female.
I think there's
as well.
A measure of it. I just think that naturally we want attention, you know? Mm-hmm. We want people to praise us and say, oh, you look great or whatever. But I agree with you for the most part. I think she does it more as like a creative outlet. It's for, she like brings in other people too. She brings in her friends and stuff. But when it's just her, she'll do it as a creative outlet where she's like singing to songs or doing dances or whatever. But I can see how it could get out of hand really easily if she's not getting the correct support mm-hmm. from the people that matter. So I could see if somebody is from a broken home or has like trauma or things where it's so easy to go to that source for, you know, love and appreciation and a confidence boost. But it's a very delicate balance for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Talking social media today. And again, you're welcome to share your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Jordan is in Georgia. Hey, Jordan, welcome to the show today. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm going to hope that I don't wake up my little ones asleep in the back, but I was just calling in. I don't know if anyone's seen the show Hometown. The host, Erin Napier, I think that's how you pronounce it, mm-hmm. she just started a website called OspreyKids.com, and Osprey stands for Old School Parents Raising Engaged Youth, And she's actually having a panel of people come in to Mississippi. Is that Mississippi State, I think, on August 1st. And it's all about building a community within your community of parents that are like-minded and wanting to keep kids social media free until they're in college. Mm. So I have little ones. I've got a 2-year-old, a 10-month-old, and then I have a stepdaughter that's 8. So that's what we're trying to do here with my cousins and friends is start that up, because we're very much like no screen time in our family. They may watch TV every now and then, but we don't do iPads or anything like that. So we're trying to head in that direction here because the research is scary to me.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're an informed parent and you're finding out what's going on. Got to be smarter than the kids. You got to stay 3 steps ahead. That's one thing about parenting today. You got to stay 3 steps ahead of your kids, who, frankly, as they grow up, they're going to be sharper and quicker on technology just because of being exposed. They're native to this, where maybe some of us as parents and grandparents, we kind of grown into it. And so staying ahead is really important. And by the way, you're talking about Hometown. Hey, listen, I've seen about 14 episodes of that at home. My wife, she follows that. She's into that, so I get to see all that home decorating stuff that they do. So
yes, yeah, they're awesome people. So if anyone wants to look into it, it's on OspreyKids.com, like the bird.
All right, thank you, Jordan. Be safe, and hopefully we didn't wake up the little one. Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah, it's the worst.
when the phone goes off or something right in the middle. Yeah. All right. We're talking about. You know, being the parents we need to be and being responsible as parents with our kids. And we look at these statistics. It's interesting that even when the surveys are done of teenagers, 36% of teens say, I'm spending too much time. Do your kids give you that feedback? I sort of implied they sometimes say, hey, enough, I need a little breather from this. Is that what you hear?
Yeah, they can self-regulate to a certain degree. Once again, our daughter can be a little bit less self-regulating. Our son... People have called him an old soul because he'll ditch the phone. And we have to balance it because I love that he'll disconnect and hang with friends, but then I'm also, you still need to text us and let us know where you are. So he's a little bit different that way. But we have to, at least I do because I sort of manage, I have to regulate our daughter just time spent because I think she would spend the entire day on it if we didn't monitor it and regulate it.
You know, I was looking at, I did a little research before coming in the studio from the American Psychological Association, which is not your local evangelical ministry, right? The APA even is saying, look, parents, you need to model and be responsible yourself to set the standard for your kids. But they also said something else that's really important is to watch for, if you think your kids are getting too addicted to this, because it is an addictive thing, that watch for the problems that can develop. Are you finding your children neglecting commitments they've made, not following through with things because they're online? They're becoming isolated. They're isolated from friends. They're not out being socially connected like we were years ago. If their physical activities are dropping, you're finding that they're not as active as they used to be physically, or they have, frankly, cravings. You know, you have that, like, oh, where's my phone, you know, and I want to get on. And then if you find your kids starting to lie, the APA says, to be able to get access online, you know you got a problem. Those are things to watch too. Quick break. We'll be back talking social media from Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Do you ever feel like all hope is lost? Maybe it's bad news from the doctor, a relationship issue, or just a bad day. In part one of Dr. Randy's message, How to Experience Hope, he gives you 4 ways the Bible says we can experience hope. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we're offering you a copy of the book, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. To receive this month's special offer and the book, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for your support. We're right here at the end of the month. And, you know, this month we've been making available to those of you coming to stand with the ministry a classic by the Blackabees. It's a book on experiencing God. Henry Blackaby wrote this several years ago, but it's been so impactful in the lives of people. It's a classic. If you don't have, you should have. And if you don't and you do, you can share it with others. And so I handpicked this as a resource we wanted to get into your hands for those of you who are stepping up to be a part of the Ministry of Intentional Living with your monthly support. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on that little donate icon, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. When you do, press number 2 during West Coast business hours, and our staff will be happy to take your calls. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Today, talking about social media and the impact in our families. How do you manage it?
Well, I made the choice, possibly mistake, to join Facebook last spring and have definitely spent plenty of time at that. You know, it really does get you kind of in an excited mood, and it's addicting, and it's just fun to connect with people. But
how much time do you spend doing this?
Well, probably one to 2 hours a day, depending on the day, but that's probably an average.
Okay, so maybe 10 hours a week, roughly?
Yep, somewhere around there, and I don't really have time for it in order to put into action some of the things I want to do with my life.
All right, talking time, you know, I looked at a research study that showed that the young people who spend more time on social media tend to have lower grades, lower performance in life. So there is a downside. We understand the creativity and so on. And it makes me wonder where AI is going to fit into this. Taylor, have you done some study on that? I mean, are we seeing any early evidence of what this could be as a negative impact on families?
I think with what we saw in the news, if people followed it with Instagram and Facebook 2 years ago, where it found out, journalists or somebody, I don't know exactly, it found that the algorithm was actually putting the content in front of teens and youth in a very negative aspect and way. And so in the AI capacity, I guess more concerned just with it sort of super serving what it thinks, you know, us humans should see and providing content that maybe not be beneficial to younger audiences. But to your point too, as far as grades declining and things, I think every kid is different. So you may have a kid that is just acting out in all these capacities and they have not earned the right, you know, per se, to have phone access or social media access, and you may not have that case. And so it's so tricky because we have to manage it, how it applies to our family and our children, and that could be different than someone mm-hmm. else. And mm-hmm. we all sort of just want to cookie cutter this thing all the same, and our kids will say that, but so-and-so lets their, you know, kid have Snapchat. No, well, we're not so-and-so. That's not the way we run our family, and that can hurt and sting sometime, but yeah, the whole AI thing is just, it's so new, it's so hard to tell where it's going.
Yeah, I think it's pretty scary. I mean, it's interesting. I can see the power of it, but when you have the system starting to think for people, anyway, that's a whole nother, I'm still processing
this. It's a new podcast.
It's a new podcast. There you go. What This Is Doing to Me podcast. All right, Shiloh, we talked about, the caller was mentioning about waste of time or too much time. How do you manage that in your home? I heard you say you have limits. Is it like an exact time you get so many minutes or whatever? How do you handle that?
Yeah, you got to regulate it. You do. I think that's probably one of the biggest things parents need to do. If you're just giving your kid their phone and giving them full access and not putting any boundaries on it, that's going to open the door for problems. But I don't know what it is because he handles all of it, but we put a system on it that shuts it down after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. How much time?
Hour and a half for the entire day is what like our daughter will get on TikTok mm-hmm. and socials, and then it'll shut it down, and I'll either leave it shut down or we'll talk about it. She'll either make sure she's completed chores or done stuff to help around the house or journal. Recently, literally in the last month or two, I've tried to instill some things in her specifically because she's definitely a high user out of our family. That's like analog. Go journal, go out outside with your sister, you know what I mean? Doing some things that are away from just being sucked into that screen 24/7.
Yeah. Well, television can do the same thing, can't it?
We
can be sucked into that and have been over the years. When you think of, for those who are maybe not familiar with TikTok and these other, what are the things your daughter's looking at? I mean, what's going on that continues to bring them back? Is it the scrolling? Is it, what is it?
I mean, it's been proven that it's just like a dopamine hit, just being on social media like that. But I think the things that she likes to watch the most, which we don't mind, are animals. So she's always sending us TikToks about how we can care for our dogs better. And the thing Taylor loves that she watches is cooking and recipes. So she'll get in the kitchen, she'll see something inspirational on TikTok and get in the kitchen and make, like she made cake pops yesterday or something.
God bless it.
And Taylor loves it, you know, so that's the like positive stuff. But then they're also like seeing dances and, you know, makeup and influencers trying to sell you something and things like that.
Now, so it's easy to get into those things. What keeps her from scrolling and running into one of those things innocently and clicking on it?
The beauty of the exposure this has gotten in the news with algorithms and teens is pretty much, granted, she's not on Snapchat, and I think that's where it gets real squirrely, but pretty much every single channel that we have her on, actually, yes, 100%, has stopgaps in place. And so her account's private. I can approve or decline if people want to follow her. Messages, she's not allowed to search. So I actually have search turned off on these channels because that's where, from what I've read and seen, a lot of the squirreliness can happen. And those are some things that are in place that she doesn't love, but they're safety nets. And we explain that to her. Hey, this is a safety net for you. There's things you should not be seeing as a 12, 13-year-old. And she's been pretty receptive to it, surprisingly.
We're also realistic that we don't have all the control. And so I think the one thing that I can say that I would encourage everybody to do is you have to pray that your kids hear from the Holy Spirit and have discernment. You have to. Like, that's something I've consistently done since they were born, because they are going to be exposed to something someday. No matter how many safeguards we put up, they're going to see something they're not supposed to. So you have to pray that they have discernment and understanding and can hear from the Lord that that's not what is for their life. And I think that that's something that you can control as a parent, is that you're praying and talking to God and telling them, like, give your kids that gift to understand right from wrong.
They need that. Difficult times, interesting times. Let's take a break. Miss Jennifer, you ready to go? We'll be right back with more on social media in the home. Romans 4:18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Here's the point. Hope against hope. Did you know that that little phrase, hope against hope, was first heard back in the 1800s, and it was by a person who had been reading from that verse I just read from Romans chapter 4. Hope against hope. In many ways, you've got to think about, I mean, be Abraham for a moment. You're this old man with this old wife, and God's saying you're going to be the father of many nations, and your hope has been deferred a long time, and you're thinking, wait a minute, that's hope against hope, right?
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month, part one of Experiencing Hope. It's for our members. Members are those around the country who say, hey, we believe in this message of getting out to people today in marriage and family, single moms and dads, this message of living intentionally in Christ, figuring out what pleases Christ and then doing it. That's really what we focus on, coming from Ephesians. And to do it in a way that honors Christ and benefits us. I've always said, you know, if you live an intentional life, you're going to be benefited by it. I mean, let's face it. If you make the next right choice, and it's a good choice, it's a godly choice, I mean, I don't see the downside in this deal. Living intentionally, I don't see the downside. I only see the upside. Because some of us have gotten off the base, not made an intentional decision, and you've regretted it. You felt the pain. And so we're here to help you, frankly, have less regrets in life and to live a way that honors Christ, benefits you and your family. And so if you're not a part of the team, come and join us. We'll make sure you start receiving our masterclass teachings every month. And we thank you in advance for your support. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast Business Hours, 888-888-1717 to be a part of the show today. We're talking about social media, and I'm pleased to have Taylor and Shiloh Anderson here. Taylor is the marketing director for our ministry,
and his wife, Shiloh, is here. And you guys have three kids, 17, 13, and 8. And you use social media for your business, right? Mm-hmm. Developing your business. And so it's been a positive thing for you. And we use it in the ministry to impact more people. So as you guys look at this, and it's in our homes, we had a caller that called and was saying, hey, listen, this is a nightmare. You know, I just shut everything off. Is that practical for parents today, just to shut it off? I mean, from your experience, and you're out there with other parents your age, if you find some parents just say, you know, we're done with it, it's all gone from our home.
I think they're going to, I mean, we have our kids tell us about their friends' burner accounts. And so you can take that approach to each their own. I think they're going to go out and figure out a way around it. And our approach personally, this is for us, we, you know, just give advice to others. They can take this with they or leave it, is we've immersed ourselves into the conversation with them and into the apps and, like Shiloh said, watching it with them. And that's been the way that we've managed it personally. If you're just going to shut it out, it'll just be a matter of time until they get it either way, or they're going to get it without you knowing.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true. Your 13-year-old daughter will find it somewhere, right?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, she will watch it with her friends that have it. So I think it's important for, if you're going to not have it in your home at all, I respect that 100%, but I think you still have to have lots of conversation around it. And I have friends that have zero screens in their house, only books, you know, and it works for them. But I am curious to see what will happen as their kids get older, because it's not going away. It's here. And I mean, it's also part of jobs for some people. Like, you have to have at least a general understanding on how to use it for your occupation. So I don't know. There's so many pros and cons.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not on Facebook personally. We are in the ministry and we enjoy, you know, the communication. My wife is keeping in touch with family members. So I'll lean over her shoulder.
Yeah.
Say, would you tell them this for me? You know, but I can see where it gets addictive.
Oh, yeah.
What I find on my phone is you start scrolling, stuff pops up when you bring up and you say, oh, that's interesting, that article and that article. And then they find out, and then they know you're interested in that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I get 42 articles about space exploration or something, you know? Yep. And I said, that's enough. All right. Hey, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Shiloh and Taylor. Anderson, part of our team here. Taylor is our marketing director. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for what you're doing. We've got some big vision for the future to use this media more and more, this technology, for God's glory and the benefit of those of you who listen and are part of the ministry here and around the world. And thank you for your prayers and support in making that a reality. I'm Dr. Randy. For Jennifer and Stephen and Gino and the rest of the team, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.